What do you do if you're living in a city and you start looking to buy a home and you realize it's just too expensive? How on earth do you figure out how to buy a home across the country? Well, listen to this great story. This is an interview with James and Cynthia. They were in Seattle and ended up looking into what happens if we follow a job and we go all the way to Tennessee. Check out this story. Hello, everybody. This is another interview with another success story, and I could not be happier. This is Cynthia and James, so I'm going to start the way I like to start all these. You all out there know they bought a home, so I'm going to assume that Cynthia and James are not pros at it. So
Not at all.
Yes, you got to hear James there, and for those of you not seeing the video, both their heads were shaking really hard. No. So give us something helpful from the process, something you learned, either something terrible that you're like, oh my God, never do this, or your best tip. Go for it.
Go ahead, James, share yours. What we learned from your job.
Yeah, so...
I love the prompt, by the way. Go ahead. He's like, what? And you're like, what?
So I think the biggest thing we learned and like the biggest struggle that we had through the actual like house buying process was job verification, which I don't know if we've ever talked about or you've ever talked about on podcasts necessarily, but like trying to get job verification from my company was a nightmare.
Excellent point. I have touched on it. And let me briefly, since you brought it up, finish the tip for everybody else. So get a loan, you get a pre-approval. First of all, that pre-approval, that's just step one. You're not even close to done. Because then when you what they call identify a property, and then you go into under contract, next you go to the underwriters. The underwriters are people that are trying to decide that they should not give you money. Their ultimate goal is to give you money, but their job, if they approve people that ultimately can't afford the home, they get fired. So think of like insurance people just trying to give you the least amount possible unless you can verify everything. Well, one of the things they do is you're already committed. You've done the house, you've done the inspection, you've done the appraisal, you've done everything else. Now you're, what I've heard, 24 hours to 48 hours from closing. And then they call your job because there are people that get an offer accepted and then they get, who knows, fired. And suddenly it's 4 days to close, 5 days to close. Well, you got that approval based completely on the salary and the income you're supposed to get. So they have to call your job. So James, tell us what was difficult. Your HR department? Because I've heard this story a thousand times. I want to hear yours.
Yeah, HR was not helpful. So there was a couple of factors. We were living in Seattle. And we decided to move to Nashville, Tennessee. And so part of that, I was transferring to another location within the same company, but the loan needed verification that I was actually working or going to work in Tennessee. So I had my manager in Seattle trying to help me get information because she kind of didn't really know how to do that. And then I had my manager in Nashville trying to help me out. And then I'm talking to HR as well. And they're like, oh, this is what you need. Go online. Go to this website. I can't even remember.
Well, we actually had the struggle before we decided to move to
That's
Nashville.
That's true.
Because we were originally trying to buy a house in Seattle.
That's true. That's true.
And we had it really rough with the HR department in Seattle.
Yeah.
They just kept saying that they couldn't get through. They couldn't find James's work verification. And the HR kept saying, you just go here, it'll work. And then our loan agent or the underwriters kept calling and it wasn't working. And they're like, we can't approve you for this loan unless you get verified. But we can't verify you because your company's not giving us the right info. And it was just going around in circles for probably a week or two, honestly. Yeah.
I'm just going to interject with the solution for everybody else. And you're right. I should have done a full podcast on this. The day you first are ready to go and start looking at homes, Monday morning, 9 a.m. Now, who knows? Maybe you write an offer Sunday night. And it's a windfall. You have so much stuff you have to do in those first 4 or 5 days. But I'm going to add one more to the list. 9 a.m., call HR. Find the H. Find a human.
Yeah, for real. Oh, man.
And you know what? I've had this happen with me with VA loans. So they're phenomenal products for the military, but it's the military. So there's paperwork on paperwork on paperwork. So if you're going to borrow against your 401k, if you're going to take money out of a stock that you want to use as that savings now for a home. And everybody needs verification of employment and VA. Everybody add this to the list of things to do on day one.
Yeah, just know how to do it. Know how your company works. My work verification was done in like 2 hours. It was so easy, but I work for a small company. And James works for a big company, so it was so much harder to get in touch with HR. And
yeah,
it was a mess. It was not at all expected.
Now, Cynthia, that's a great point because you're better odds of being approved in the illogical logic of bank approval if you're working, because a big company, they're like, oh, big company, no problem, let's approve them. What's funny is you're a little small company that was probably a pain in the butt to verify all the original income and information and all that. But when it came to, do you still work here?
Yeah.
The big companies, there's just too much red tape, right, James?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. We could do another 30 minutes on this.
I'm sure we could.
I love that we set the table with this, that instantly we're giving people some nuggets of information. Okay, so now let's meet you two. Let's walk all the way back. How long have you guys been living together? Were you renting together? What was your process from becoming a young adult renter to finding the podcast?
So we were just living in an apartment in Seattle, 500 square feet. And
legit 500?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the total amount was 565 square feet. One bedroom, wow. One bathroom. And yeah, so we were living in that apartment and James was like, I think he mentioned that one day he wanted to buy a house. And I was like, that's cool. Maybe like 8 years, 10 years down the road, there's no way. And he was like, it'd be really nice to own something. And I'm like, okay, but check out our finances. If we could afford
Go ahead. So how old are you guys?
I'm 29.
And I'm 31.
Dude, I'm telling you, the reason I did this podcast is you both beat me. Both of you. And I went, oh my God, if I could get in a DeLorean and tell myself all this stuff. Because I get it. You're in a 500-1-1 in Seattle. Now, are you guys from Seattle or did you move there for work, life, fun?
I'm originally from Seattle. I kind of moved back there for work, but also kind of moved back there for her.
We met in college. I wanted to live in Seattle. We got married. I really liked Seattle and wanted to stay there because I was from Southern California. Loved the green in Seattle, the lakes, everything that Washington had to offer.
So it made it an easy decision for me.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll put a little pause on the How to Buy a Home podcast. And now I'm going to get into like some reality show stuff because Cynthia and I were talking earlier. I'm from SoCal. So was much of the attraction that he was a Seattle boy? Were you kind of hoping in the back of your brain? Be honest.
I mean, I was already planning to move to Seattle before we started dating, but it was nice. He doesn't have the blonde hair, blue eyes like Californians do, and I got a little tired of that maybe. I don't know.
Well, and then the hook, the surprised M. Night Shyamalan twist that nobody knows out there yet, is that we started talking in Seattle, and you guys found me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
Well, so we found you. We tried to buy a house in Seattle. You sent us a unicorn. They were awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
They were so great.
Fantastic.
But there's just not a lot of houses for sale. As you've talked a lot about on your podcast with the housing shortage, there just wasn't that many on the market. And the ones that were built in like 1900 and water damage, and it was just rough pickings for what we were trying to get into.
And anything that we might be able to afford was going to be two and a half hours away from work or more with traffic for me. And that's no thank you.
And we kept hearing your podcast, like, you could do this. You could do this. We're like, all right, David, how can we do this? And we were talking about how in the podcast, you always talk about how you can't have everything. You can't always have the perfect house, perfect location, perfect price point, etc. And so we started looking for possibilities outside of the state where James could transfer within his company. And I worked remotely so I could work anywhere.
Okay. Expand on that. I'm really curious because sometimes people don't realize when I say keep your options open that I'm totally open-minded, and I never tell people, oh, it's never going to happen here for you in Seattle.
Right.
Because I want to keep it open for them. And a lot of times we're trying to figure out, okay, maybe a small condo first, mm-hmm. and then the dream house in 7 years or so. But talk more about that. When did you guys, did the process of trying to find a home in Seattle make you realize, okay, maybe we don't have to do it here? And then you opened your, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Tell me.
I think there were a few different factors. I think one of the factors was the house, the size of house we were looking for. We're still fairly young. We don't have any kids, but we plan on having kids in the near future. And we wanted a house that we could kind of grow into. And so a lot of the houses in the areas that we were looking in Seattle were just too small for that. And even though like they were too small and they were still like at the top of our budget. And so we didn't necessarily want like our dream house, but we wanted a house that we could be comfortable in for the next 5 to 10 years with the plans of growing our family. We also have a dog that needed some space, and like we wanted a little bit more than what we could find or what we were finding in Seattle.
I found that in the original notes from February 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It was that long ago. It was about the dog needs space to run around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting to me because post-pandemic now in this potential for remote work world, even though you're from Seattle, your individual family unit, which you were intending on expanding, there are some people that say we absolutely 1,000,000% have to live here. And then we have to create a different strategy for them,
mm-hmm.
and maybe find them a 2-bedroom, 1-bath condo.
Mm-hmm.
Then the dog sacrifices for a little while. But what led you to the possibilities of going across the country?
I think we just kind of one day were like, let's see what housing market looks like in these areas where James could transfer within his company to a different service center. And so we just kind of were like, let's toy with the idea. We weren't set on moving, but we were like, let's try something new out. This hasn't been working. We did have really great realtor unicorns that had suggested yep. condos, and they never said it wasn't possible for us. But we just kind of figured maybe let's just look elsewhere and see. And so we started looking on Zillow and Redfin and just kind of looking at different areas and their housing prices, looking up their schools, all the tips that you send walking around on Google Earth.
Mm-hmm. Best, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stalker fun.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Full on stalkers. We became really great at stalking houses yeah. and neighborhoods.
Well, and so what was crazy interesting, and correct me if I'm not remembering this correctly, you guys, for some reason, the job opportunity transfer was in Tennessee, but not necessarily downtown Nashville.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is for your big company, James.
Yes. Yes. Right? Yeah.
So what's the deal? They have like a warehouse or an office somewhere like an hour outside of Nashville?
Yeah. So a little backstory on that. I'm a mechanic. I work on electric vehicles, particularly. I used to work for Tesla. Now I work for a company called Rivian. So they have different services.
Rivian.
Yes. Yeah.
They're out of Orange County.
Yes, they are. Yes. Irvine. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're in our local paper all the time.
I believe it. So I work for them. Like I said, I'm a mechanic.
Let me guess. Low price per square foot, some big old factory warehouse outside of town in Tennessee.
Close to it, yeah. It's a big building. We have our lifts and we service all the vehicles in there. So they're about 30, 40 minutes. The service center is about 30, 40 minutes south of downtown Nashville. In a little town called Franklin. So we were kind of looking around there and trying to figure out how that all kind of worked.
Well, and when we were thinking of other opportunities outside of the state, the week that we decided maybe we should look at other states, James's exact position came available in Nashville.
Yeah.
Or Franklin in Tennessee. Like direct transfer, it just popped up and we were like, well, we gotta try it.
Well, and then the next step of this perfect kismet meant to be scenario was I didn't have a unicorn in Franklin.
Right.
But your Seattle unicorns had a cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a cousin that had gotten...
That had moved from the city we were living in.
Yeah.
To the town that we had found and decided on Zillow based on walking around on Google Earth. She had moved from our city to that specific town like 4 years ago. And they're like, she's a really great realtor.
I tell people all the time, I just did another interview today and I said, all I am is an educator and then a matchmaker. And I didn't know Kimber and Bryce before the podcast. I met a lot of the unicorns I've known for years and years and years. But another good person I knew said, oh my gosh, these guys are awesome. And then I loved it because you saved me a week of work because I would have been on the phone for a week trying to find somebody in little old Franklin.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of the story. I love that. So let's talk some details for the people. What was your situation? How did you go from in one bedroom and Cynthia going, we should try this? And James going, are you nuts, lady? To... Where were you with savings, with your rent? How much was that $565?
It was, yeah, it was $1,210 every month.
Yeah.
And that was before COVID, and they didn't raise the prices in COVID, but they did kick everybody out, actually.
And then remodel it.
And remodeled it. So we had to leave. We moved in with my mom for a little bit.
James, not probably.
Yeah, no, I know. They definitely raised it.
They definitely raised it.
Your eye roll. I saw your eye roll here on video.
Yeah. That's for the people.
So how comfortable were you? What sort of down payment were you looking at? Because obviously you got a significant price reduction, or maybe you kept the same price and just got, I don't know, four times the house. So
yeah,
that was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had just done, like, the Dave Ramsey stuff. And so we had paid off all of our debt and all that stuff. And so we didn't really have very much in savings, to be honest.
Wait. Say that again.
We did the Dave Ramsey, so we didn't have very much in savings.
The interview I did earlier today, she had $200,000 in student loan debt.
Oh, burn.
Bought a house in 3 months.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we found your podcast after Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
It's a great starting point. I just hope everybody understands there is a balance at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's good debt and bad debt.
Yeah.
The debt that you're paying off is bad debt. A home is good debt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay off all the bad debt, you pay 3, 4, 5 years in rent, and most people are paying double your $1,250. Okay, so great. So you were set up, so no debt.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your down payment? What were you looking at?
It changed from Seattle to Tennessee. It was a very different market. Originally, when we were working in Seattle, our loan agent had said to save up $40,000.
Which was approximately what percent?
It was 5%.
Yeah, about 5%.
Okay.
Yeah. She told us that we could do the 3.5% if we wanted to, but we wanted to save up for the 5%.
Which is a whole nother podcast about how the 3.5 is great, but unless you refinance out of it, you're stuck with PMI forever.
Yeah.
Therefore, the 5% is a good thing. But you ended up at 379. So did you guys go 10% down on that?
Yeah, and I don't remember. What was it?
I know. I'm trying to remember. I think we actually stuck with the 5% so we could have a lower monthly payment.
Yeah.
And we actually had the builder contributed 3% towards our closing costs and stuff like that.
Oh, well, that's huge.
Yeah. That was a really nice surprise.
Yeah.
Well, the builders are in a weird spot right now because they're holding back building homes on purpose so that the prices go up. We're 6 million homes short.
Right.
But every once in a while, they do it too much, and then they have to incentivize you guys.
Yeah. Our home had been sitting for, we got a new build, which is still blowing my mind. And it had been sitting on the lot for at least 6 months, which is crazy.
We closed and moved in June, and I think they had the house finished like November, December last year.
That's crazy, because that would have been before the interest rate jump.
Yeah.
Because the interest rate jump was in June.
We did move to like a pretty rural area, though.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't move to Franklin. We moved to 45 minutes from Franklin.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay, great. Another great tip for people out there. If you're looking rural, you get to be perhaps a little bit more selective.
Mm-hmm.
More like a regular buyer.
Yeah.
I wish I could give people in the metro areas stories about how to get seller credits or builder credits, but it's just not happening right now.
Yeah.
We had looked at a house closer to Franklin, and it went on the market, and we were like, let's go look at that house. And our realtor was like, this house is going to go quick. And since we had listened to your podcast, we're like, we know. She was like, this is going to be bidding wars, everything. Like, it's going to be hard. You're not going to get any credit. You're going to have to pay above the asking price. And we're like, we know, we just want to check it out.
Yeah.
I love the depressed yet informed individual. I know Sedoni tells me all the time. I haven't talked about this. Did you logically just put together, wait a minute, these ones out here, this is sitting, but that's not what David was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so tell us about the process. Tell us about the new build. It might not be for another 3 or 4 years or only in very rural places, but how does one shop when they know a home's sitting? How did that whole process go?
It was so easy. Like, I think it
not the opinion of David Sedoni.
I think it blew both of us away. Like, once we were like, okay, this is the house, how easy the process was. Except for the one hiccup of the job verification.
Yeah.
Like, everything was just smooth. So it had been sitting, we technically looked at the house next door first. And then while we were there for that little open house with the selling agent, they were like, oh, hey, by the way, we have the key for the one next door too. That one's up for sale. It's not listed, but it's for sale as well. You want to look at that one? And it was a little bit bigger and a little bit nicer. And I think it bumped our payment up maybe $100
a month. I don't think it did that.
Really. Yeah. So we were like, oh, we like that one better. But we made an offer. The next morning it was accepted. And like it just rolled from there. I think our estimated close date was like, so we made the offer, was it May, like,
I don't know.
Fourth or fifth. And our estimated closing date was like June 6th. And we ended up closing May 31st.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was so smooth. We had all of our information because we had gone through before, gotten pre-approved, and had the full credit pull, like all of the things that you tell us to do. We had that all ready to go before we even came and looked at houses. And so when it came to the actual process, it was just like, oh, you're done. Sign this. Okay, done. Sign this. Done. And we had the house.
Yeah. Our story was even a little bit crazier than that because we didn't tell you guys yet that. So when James decided to apply for that job in Nashville, he had one interview. I mean, it was going to be a transfer, so we were pretty sure it was going to work out. But he had an interview, and then we booked flights for the next weekend to go visit Tennessee for the first time in our lives.
Before I had the job.
Before he even had the job officially transferred. Because we were like, they said in the interview process, if they take him to transfer, he was going to need to start work in 3 to 4 weeks from when they tell him that he's good. So it's going to be a quick process. So we booked flights the next week out to Nashville. And we looked at houses for 3 days straight. We were there for just over 2 days. And we put in an offer. It got accepted right before we got on our flight home.
So the moral to the story is prepare, prepare, prepare.
Absolutely.
The reason it worked out for you guys is because you did it, but you did it in another city.
Mm-hmm.
And when people tell me I have a job transfer, we're going to think about buying a home. And they go, we're going to rent an Airbnb for like 3 months and figure it out. I tell them, here's what's going to happen. You're going to do that. You're going to land. You're going to go out the first weekend and find the perfect house. And you're not going to be prepared. So what your story can tell the listeners is you can prepare in a 2,000 miles away.
Yeah. We just listened to all of your episodes. We found the podcast in December of 2022.
Yeah.
And we looked on Google Maps.
No, it was 21.
Oh, yeah. December of 2021. Sorry. We walked around on Google Maps, Google Earth. We looked up school zones, like the ratings. And we were basically like, our realtor had it all mapped out for us of, okay, we're going to go here. We're going to go here. We're going to go here. You don't want to go to this house. That was the craziest weekend of my life.
I've done those 3-day tours, and I can tell you, God bless all the new kids trying to do this. You got to remember, I'm old, drink. But people who just got a license, there's no way they're going to be able to do what we call the relocation 3-day tour. You have to know neighborhoods. You have to know guard gates by name, who is going to let you in. You have to know the community center. And I'm sure you didn't do it all within 1 mile. I'm sure you were looking 20, 30, 40 miles.
Yep.
We drove all around Nashville.
It's the best way to get to know a town before you move there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Visiting for the first time and buying the biggest purchase of your life.
Well, I'm glad you had the internet tools to help you ahead of time. It's so funny just listening to this. All I'm hearing is, and talking to you guys now, and just your mannerisms and your personality, you seem very go with the flow, but you also seem like there's some solid organization behind what you did.
Yeah.
I think you just described me and her together. Like, I'm very much just go with the flow, we'll figure it out. And she's like, I need a plan. I need steps.
Like, this has got to be planned out, thought out, and not going to ruin our life.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to say it out loud, but that's what I actually meant when I said
that.
But that's the goal, is that I want people to understand, no matter what it is, if you're on the emotional side or if you're on the practical side, there's enough information in the podcast to educate the heck out of either one of you and get you on board. But then there's a stopping point. And then it's all got to be unicorns, because real estate's local.
Mm-hmm.
So since the buying process of a new build that has been sitting, that's a great tip. That's a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
But then people go, oh, cool, I'm going to go out and go get a new build. And they bid on the one that's not built yet. And there's 15 people bidding on it.
Yeah.
Not the same.
No.
No.
So How has the process been for you in your new home? What's it been like being an owner of a new build property? Because how long have you guys been in the house now?
About three months.
Mm-hmm. And how's it been so far?
Well, I've been here the longest because I had to move here and immediately start working. She had some stuff she had to finish up back in Seattle. So she moved and then went back for like a month and a half. So it's been a little bit of adjustment. The house itself is really nice. We haven't really had any issues with the house. But the yard, we definitely have to figure some stuff out. I guess I should back up. We moved in. We didn't realize that there were no blinds and no toilet paper holders, towel holders, curtain rods, or shower curtain rods.
We didn't think about it. We walked through the house. We saw it. But we just were so excited to be looking at a brand new house that we didn't even think to look if they had the random necessities, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know what's coming next. But for the listeners, finish that statement. Why the yard? Is the yard just a patch of dirt?
It's a little patchy.
Because it's Tennessee, but it's not great grass. And it's not level.
But no landscaping.
They put in three shrubs because they have to put in some shrubbery to the contract. But two of those died by the time we moved in. There's one still living. Barely.
And they threw some grass down. It's definitely patchy. But also we've discovered, so we're in the south. When it rains down here, it rains. And when that happens, there is a river that runs through like the backyard. So it comes off the roof, puddles in the front, runs around the side, and down through the back. And it's a lot of water. So
we have to figure that out.
We're gonna have to figure out some things there. So there's definitely like there's
French drain.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do something like that.
We need some French drains.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think it's a new house. Structurally, it's great. But there's just some extra things to make it our own that we weren't necessarily like planning on. But now we're like, we need to take care of those things.
Yeah.
I think it's a good trade-off for people to understand, especially if you get a home that's been sitting for a little while.
Yeah.
If you're doing a new build and you're involved at the very beginning, you get to go to this lovely place called the Design Center.
Yeah.
And you pick and choose. So even though it's a new home, you basically bought like a rental car. It had 10,000 miles on it, but you're not getting power windows or you're not getting the satellite.
Yeah.
You just buy it as is. It's still brand new.
Yeah.
But good lesson.
Yes.
Good lesson.
Yeah.
And you get to enjoy the fact that you got a wonderful home, great value. Mm-hmm. You're getting good appreciation on it. Mm-hmm. You guys bought at the right time, like right when the market started to come back.
Yeah. I think we definitely feel we got in at the right time.
Well, I would say that from 500 square feet to what's the square footage now? Do you guys even know?
I think it's 19.
Yeah, it's like
100. And it's on an acre.
Yeah.
On an acre?
Yeah.
Okay, Cynthia, you're from my part of the world.
I know.
Now, when you said you wanted a dog to have space to run around, in my world, that's a 6,000 square foot lot.
That's what I was planning on, too.
You have an acre?
Yeah. We have an acre.
It's insane.
I'd be freaking camping half the time.
That's what we told our family they could do when they come for Thanksgiving. We'll just set up a bunch of tents in the backyard and have a big bonfire and everything. I have a big family, so...
Well, I tell everybody, get the kitchen table with leaves.
Yep.
Leave the leaves in the garage the whole time.
Yeah.
And then go to Costco and buy some of those glamping packages and tell everybody they can stay because we can only fit three couch beds.
Right.
So deal with it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. I've been so just enthralled with what you guys have been saying. Is there anything that when you were like, oh, we're going to talk to David, that you want to tell the people out there about the process? Besides, it's easy, James.
It really wasn't that easy until we got to this house.
Because
in Seattle, we had put in an offer on a house that Kimber and Bryce helped us do, which was amazing. They walked us through it, and we didn't get it, our offer didn't get accepted when we tried for that house. I think, I don't know, it wasn't all easy. It was really just that we had been preparing for like a year and a half with the podcast, with the unicorns you sent us. I really don't think we could have done it if we didn't have Kimber and Bryce, especially because if we didn't have them, they would not have referred Samantha, who was living in the town we were looking. It just works out.
Yeah. I think the whole process to getting to actually making the offer was challenging, because it was, we tried for probably a year to find something in Seattle and wondering like, how are we going to make this work? And then the process of like making the decision to look elsewhere was not an easy one. All of my family is still in Seattle. We were living with Cynthia's mom, who's also in Seattle now. And so like our family's there. We know no one out here.
Yeah.
I have one friend from college. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I think that whole process up until making the offer on the house was not easy. It was a struggle for sure. Just trying to figure out what the right choice was for us and our budget and our situation.
And to clarify, we lived in the 500 square foot apartment until we decided that we really wanted to buy a house and they were going to start kicking people out of our apartment. So we moved in with my mom for extra savings to save up for a house. Mm-hmm. And that helped make it possible too.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a great clarification. And of course, it comes from the planner side of the couple.
Yeah. Although it was my idea to move in there.
I said the recap came from the planner side. We all know what us free spirits do. Now, what we tend to forget is that we also brought up seven other things that she was like, are you crazy? That's dumb. But then eventually we hit the right one, right?
Yes.
So, well, okay. So massive recap. Just so exciting. Start the planning, get the education, the moving home thing, huge piece for the listeners out there. Understand those of us who are fortunate enough to have anything from parents giving you $1,000 to $100,000 to the opportunity to move home. I mean, all that is so important. And the fact that it wasn't easy when you're going through the first part of the process, but that created the other part of the process to be easy for you. And what's so just wildly important is that because you were working with a team that actually cared about you, Kimber and Bryce put in tons of hours and didn't make a dime. And whether they had their cousin or not, we were going to find somebody together, because it's just a big game of karma. What goes around comes around. And you guys were just the fortunate recipients. And now, I guess my next best piece of advice would be get ready for when you start the family and call the in-laws and find out what kind of bed they want to sleep in before you put the guest room together. Because if they're all back in Seattle, that's going to be the big thing for you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And then my dad's already come to visit, and he's coming back again.
Yeah.
We've been here 3 months.
Oh, my God. Wait, really?
Yeah, he came the second week we moved in to help us move in. And then, like, 2 weeks after he left, he was like, so I think I'm going to come back in October, or now September. He actually moved it up. It was supposed to be October, and he's like, actually, I'll come in September.
What's his favorite part? Is it the city? Is it the acre? Or is it just tinkering around the house? Because that's the dad thing.
I think he really loves the area that we're in. It's just there's a lot of woodenness and openness. And he loves taking pictures of birds. And so, like, this whole area is perfect for them.
You could have stopped right there.
Yeah. That's,
I get it now.
Yeah.
And you have a private acre for him to knock himself out.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's amazing. Well, I interrupted you 1,000 times because you guys had so many interesting things, but your story is one of my favorites. I just laughed when I was talking to Bryce and Kimber, and I was reaching out there because just this week I had to find somebody in Knoxville. So I went to my Nashville guy and he had somebody. And he goes, whatever happened to Franklin? And I'm like, funny story.
Yeah.
So, well, congratulations to you guys. You're sitting on an acre for $379. You're probably going to be in a great situation in the next couple of years where you're even going to get to refinance and save some money.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah, because you went for it at like, what's your rate? I'm scared to death to ask.
We got it at 6.3 or 5.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that for the past 45 years, the average has been 7.7. So you're actually doing well, even though all your friends are like, no way. And then you ask them about the apartment that they rent just to rub it in.
Right.
That's awesome, guys. Love it. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you sharing your story.
Happy to.
Say goodbye to the world.
Bye.
Bye, podcast world.
You can do it.
Yes, you can do it.
Believe
for sure.
David. Believe him. I did it at first, but you really can.
Awesome. Thank you. Man, that was incredible. James and Cynthia from a 565 square foot, one bedroom, one bath apartment, trying to figure out what to do, realizing Seattle was too expensive for them, figuring out that they could go home, save some money, and then looking on Zillow as stalkers. Love that they used all the internet tips from the podcast to figure out how to buy a home all the way across the country. Buying a home, at first, you might run into some sticker shock like they did in Seattle. You might figure out that maybe if you really want to live in a city that you're not going to get the four-bedroom house, you might have to start with a two-bedroom condo. But understanding all the different things that you can do, the internet stalking, talking to people across the country, or just talking to a good unicorn team in your own hometown, both the realtor and the lender side, so you get all of your options. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it on the podcast. Starting to talk to someone as soon as you can means you understand all of your options. Now, you can do like they did and figure out how to take one of those options, get out of the 565 square feet and go across the country and get a big, old, giant Tennessee-style yard so your dog can run around. Or perhaps, maybe you'll find out, once you look at your options, that you need to look at different options within your own hometown. I'm really thankful to them for coming on. Hope that you guys heard all that stuff that they talked about. They only put 5% down. They bought a $379,000 house. And oh yeah, make sure when you start looking for homes, if you're at a big company, call HR immediately because they will need to verify your job at the end of your contract time, right when you're getting ready to buy the house. If you need to do anything, if you need to cash out stocks, if you need to go into your 401k, if you need to do anything that is going to take a little time with a bank or a different entity, if you need to talk to the VA people, if you need to talk to the military, you know how that goes. Make sure you do that stuff early in your process, like the day your offer gets accepted. Go to howtobuyahome.com if you've got other questions. There's a starter kit there. There's an Ask David. You can ask me a straight, direct question. Or you could just ask me for a unicorn, and we can get your unicorn team. Even if you're moving across the country, you can get a unicorn team that can help you start the process while you're all the way on the other coast. Always love to hear the great stories like that. I hope it's inspirational motivation for you. And I hope that you're always remembering, you can do this.